Broadcasting from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Gas South Convention Center in Duluth, Georgia, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Subaru of Gwinnett. You'll love the difference. Gwinnett Business Radio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts. Welcome, listeners, to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio, coming here from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio, located in the beautiful Gas South Convention Center. In the studio today, we have two fantastic guests joining us. We have Michael Harn, a career ownership coach, and we have Brian Sullivan with Assisted Living Locators in Atlanta. Thanks for joining us today, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Yeah, great having you here. So we'll start off with Michael Harn, career ownership coach. I've heard a lot of that lately, and you also work with, I believe, the Entrepreneur Source?
Correct.
So tell us a little bit about your journey and your path getting into where you are today.
Yeah, so I spent about 24 years in the corporate world, and I started in wireless and worked my way through several different positions at several different companies. And I was laid off five total times over that 24 years. My last company I was with was 10 years, and I thought, okay, maybe this is over. I'm going to stick here. And nope, there was another merger, another acquisition, and I was caught up again. And in the wireless world, that was kind of normal. A lot of startups these days are feeling it too. And when there's a merger or an acquisition, even if it's not of your company, it was ramifications of it hitting my company from like a major customer of ours, for example. I started working with the Entrepreneur Source myself. I looked at about four different businesses for me to go into, and I said, hey, Mr. Coach, could I do what you're doing? And he's like, you'd be great at this. And so he introduced me to the development team at the Entrepreneur Source. And so they were like my fifth business that I was exploring. And it just checked all my boxes. It was a great lifestyle. It fit my dynamic. And I had great experience because of my previous wireless experience. I helped retailers find locations to open. I helped find those retailers and train them about the Boost Mobile brand, for example. And I would help them run the back end of their business, their P&Ls, their marketing, their sales. I just kind of, instead of having one company to offer, I now have over 250 different companies to offer. Just so you know, it's not all about business ownership. It is sometimes the coaching can go in different directions.
What a great way to use your experience, you know, being laid off five times throughout your career and realizing that you've been stuck working for someone else and you don't really control your own future that way. So finding the Entrepreneur Source and actually going into being a coach for the Entrepreneur Source and taking those skills that you learned and those experiences to actually turn them into real life situations for people that are working with you looking to do the same thing. You're definitely not the only person that's been laid off several times during their career, and it seems to happen more and more frequently now as corporations, as you had mentioned, continue to acquire smaller startups, mm-hmm. just become large conglomerates, should I say.
Yeah, and I was looking for a job. I was laid off. I knew how to do this. This is my fifth time. I was looking for a job, and I was writing on LinkedIn these articles about my layoff. And I was writing about how to navigate a layoff. I was writing about the things I'm doing outside of looking for a job. A lot of my content was leaning towards helping other people navigate this time in life. And one of my best friends said to me, why aren't you writing about marketing, communications, you know, real estate, the things that you did at work? At the same time, you know, I'm talking to this coach at the Entrepreneur Source, and they're asking me, why do you even want to do this? And I was like, oh, man, like maybe that's why I'm writing these articles, because I truly want to help people.
Because it's
personally
affected you.
And I want to help get through this. Yeah, and I knew how to do it myself, and I knew how to keep my mindset in the right place and stay focused. So I was helping other people do it because thousands of people were laid off at that time. Good period of time there. I kind of leaned in heavy and opened my own business as a coach, and now I help people navigate that time. But not only that time. Some people are just burnt out, and they still have their job. Some people never plan to quit their job, and they're going to do a business on the side. Or it's like a partner and spouse type of relationship where one's going to keep the job, the other one's going to invest their time in a business.
Sure, that happens quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I talk to people in all different places. Like I said, business ownership isn't the only path. Sometimes, and business ownership in itself could be multiple things. Starting your own thing, buying a business, or looking at franchises. So it doesn't have to be one and done. I talk to them and uncover what might be right for them next.
And you went through that same process yourself with the Entrepreneur Source. You went through the discovery phase, and you were actually, maybe you knew it at the time, but you were probably being coached as well. and you've taken on those skills, or you learned from that and kind of repackaged it to your own style, and now you're using that for people that are looking to buy a business and particularly want to open up a franchise or an established brand that's already around.
Without a doubt. I knew that the guy I was speaking with was a coach. I knew I was gaining some value from that. And then now that I'm doing it, it is kind of fun to see the other side of it. And I got all the training, and we're encouraged to catch our own coaching voice. And so it's not that you have to say this and say that. You have to really just ask a ton of questions. And my questions come from whatever my clients are saying. Every single client, every call, every compartment of our journey is different for every person, simply because they all come from different places with different backgrounds and stories.
Well, you're obviously very passionate about what you do. So what do you love most about helping people transitioning, you know, in their career from, you know, working for a large corporation or even a smaller corporation where they're not a shareholder or not the owner, where they actually want to become the business owner?
Most people do not come to me saying, I want to own a business. Unless there's a referral that already knows what a friend of theirs did. They come to me saying, hey, I'm burnout at work, or hey, I'm really not gelling with my boss, or I just think I'm plateaued, like I'm hitting a dead end. Like, what can I do outside? They're looking for just a different path than going to get another job. And so what I call light bulb moments are my favorite thing that bring me joy doing what I do. And I can usually see them because we do most of this on Zoom. And when I ask them the right questions, I can see the light bulb go off. Oh my gosh, I don't have to just take another job. They become aware that there's another path and that their other path could be business ownership. And I love seeing those moments happen. And then the second light bulb moments, usually when they hit their point of clarity, they're like, I can't imagine not doing this. And that is where we celebrate. We're like, congratulations. I can kind of turn from being a coach to a facilitator and help them just get it done at that point. Because by then, they've already figured out the business. That's when they really come to the realization, like, this business is right for me.
You mentioned burnout.
Yeah.
And when I hear the term coach and I hear the term burnout within the same conversation, I'm thinking you're actually helping people get through that tough period of their career, be it they buy a new business or they just recover from that burnout and find out how to continue with their current career. So you're offering those services as well. Like, I don't want to say health and wellness, but it is kind of the wellness side, the mental wellness of it, which couples with the physical wellness of people. So
yeah,
you're getting them through that. You know, they don't want to go to work anymore. They don't have any drive. They don't have any enthusiasm for what they do, but they don't want to just throw away a career.
True. A lot of times through the coaching sessions that we have with each other, the confidence builds. I did have this one woman, she quit her job before she had another job or before she decided on a business, and I was freaked out. I thought I had done it. No, she had just finally gained enough confidence to not put up with it anymore. Luckily, everything worked out for her. It's truly about asking them the right questions, and they come to the realization, honestly, themselves, of what the next best step is. And that burnout is a big one for the people who currently have a job. I had one guy who came to me. He had a job. He was burnout. Through our 3 months together, I think it was like maybe 6 months total, he ended up leaving his job, finding another job, and opening a business.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And so he would have never done all that by himself. That's the key. Like, everybody's like, oh, I don't need a coach. Lots of people leverage coaches these days. And it's not like someone telling you what to do next. It's someone asking you, what do you want to do next? And letting you talk it out loud with them and explain to them what your wishes are, what your goals are. We really define goals early on in the process. And then we write a vision statement for them. We make sure that is what they see for their future. Before we even talk about businesses, ever, we know where they want to go. And then we see if a business will answer that.
That makes more sense to me as far as what your services are. So you're coaching them through. And then I shouldn't say if you determine, but through the conversations that you have with the individual, if they bring up that they're kind of interested in purchasing a business, that's where you come in as the franchise person.
Yeah. So there's, like I said, starting or something on their own. We have resources for those people. Buying a business, we have a database of those businesses available, and we have franchise models available too. They also could decide that business is not for them and they just want to go back to hunting for that job again. We even have resources for them. So it depends on where they want to go as to where I take them next. It's a choose your own adventure book, kind of.
So if someone does go down the franchise route,
right,
what are some of the top franchise categories that you're seeing these days that are growing year over year, you project will continue to grow in the future? Maybe there's just some emerging franchises right now that are filling a niche market that you've seen. So what could you share with us some of those?
Yeah, definitely. Some of the top, let's say top five that have been reoccurring year over year, they're need-based businesses, number one. Senior care and services is at the top of this list, and that's because about 10,000 Americans every single day are turning 65. That's a rough number, but it's close to that. And the other one, big in the top three often, is home maintenance, repair, and improvement. The real estate inventory is getting older.
Yes.
And there's new stuff being built, but there's a lot of homes that are getting older, and people aren't moving around as much anymore, and so they're wanting to stay in their home. And they're repairing it, remodeling it, and keeping it maintained so that they don't have to move or leave that home. And then the third one is kind of funny now because it used to be children. Guess what? Now it is pets. And that's happened the last couple of years, and it's just going to continue happening. More and more families are opting for pets over children right now, and it's just growing. And so, and even in the data we have in the franchise world, it's proving that.
So I kind of want to dig into a little bit on the home services you had mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like you said, most people are staying in their homes longer, but for someone that's interested in doing a franchise for home services, they don't necessarily have to pick up a hammer and start building things and repairing things. They can actually come in as the owner manager and they can hire a crew. So they don't necessarily need to have home remodeling or home repair knowledge, do they? They'll get all that information from the franchise.
Truly. There's a saying in franchise, don't bring me a painter for a painting business. Bring me a business savvy person to own that business and hire that painter. And so that's the kind of motto we go with. Someone who has transferable skills, and that's part of our coaching process, to uncover the transferable skills that would be good. And then I know the businesses and what transferable skills they're looking for. They're never looking for the person to pick up the hammer. They're looking for that person who can run the business. And you don't have to know everything about business ownership to run the business. They teach you all the things you need to know. You really need to come in with like the foundation of, you know, motivation. You need to be able to handle yourself and your personal business. That's another reason we talk about net worth. Like, you have to have a certain net worth and handled your personal life to a certain extent before these franchises will even speak to you. So they want to know those kind of things before we start talking about what the franchise does, because you're going to hire those people.
And all franchises aren't created equal, because you've got your McDonald's, your Chick-fil-A, some of the bigger ones that require a net worth probably in the $500,000 to $1 million to $2 million, because you've actually got to build a facility. But there's smaller franchises that are actually quite affordable when you're looking at net worth and you're looking at possibly getting an SBA loan and what you actually have to put down. Could you explain some of that, a little bit of that process?
Sure. And that's another value that I bring. Instead of you going to the internet and searching 10,000 and only looking at the brand names you recognize that you cannot afford and going into discovery with them and finding out that there's no way you could possibly do it, you can come to someone like myself, tell me the tidbits, like, here's my net worth, here's my credit score. We give you the funding education you need to understand what you can afford. Like, you don't usually go purchase a house without being pre-approved. You don't have to actually run credit and all this kind of stuff with us, but you do kind of want to know how you're going to pay for it if you do choose to do it. It's an investment. Now, on the low end, we have investments all in, like operating capital and everything, on the $150,000 range to $200,000. But ultimately, if the higher you go, the more opportunity there is. But it does not need to be $1 million.
When most people come to you, are they familiar with the term net worth, or do you have to walk them through that? I would imagine it's not that common of a thing that most people know what their net worth is. They know how much cash they have in the bank. They know they bought a car for $20,000, but they don't understand the whole concept of net worth. So you will actually work them through that and, should I say, coach them.
True. It is a funny way of getting into it, because we give them ranges to pick on a worksheet, and then I have to dig in a little bit more to make sure they understood what net worth meant. And I often find out that they think they're telling me what they're willing to invest or what they have that they're willing to leverage to invest. And I find out their net worth is usually much higher than they think it is. And so we have a calculator that we can do with them. The minute I say, how did you get to this number? And is it closer to the lower end or the higher end of this range? And they can't answer that, we immediately go to the calculator. For my clients who are embarrassed because it's so high and they don't want to answer those questions, I don't need to go down that route with them.
Sure.
But, you know, I just say, is it over 2 million? Okay, well, then I don't need to dig into it. That's okay too. But on the low end, we really do need to know, because that tells me which funding partner to suggest to you. If you have a lot of money in your retirement plan, your 401k, that's a whole different pathway using a ROBS program for no penalties, no taxes. Or if you don't have that at all, why would I send you to meet that person? You know, there's other things, like you mentioned SBA. If your net worth is pretty high, you don't even qualify for SBA. So why would I send you to talk about SBA? So I know the basics, and then I send them off to the professionals we have in our network.
So it really sets up the framework for not only what path to go down as far as funding, but also what path to go down as far as what franchise opportunities are really out there.
Truly. By the end of our, let's just say, under 3 months process or journey that you would go on, you will have every bit of information that you need to be able to make a solid decision that this is the right way for you to go, this is the way you're going to fund it, and this is the right business for you.
And then they usually get comfortable with that after so much time. What's the typical time frame when someone contacts you? Like, I'm burned out, you know, I'm not enjoying my career, to you getting through that period of their life and then possibly getting them into a franchise and actually opening that franchise.
Yeah.
Is that like a 6 month period, 9 month period? What would you say the average time frame is?
I like to spend at least 3 months with them, and that's one-on-one every week. And the first few weeks is just us. And no one else is involved. And then if we introduce a funding partner, they might get involved in week 4. And then the businesses maybe in week 5. And then, but I stick with them throughout the whole 3 months. I did have a couple. They were a veteran couple. After the first like 2 to 3 weeks, they were like, we're definitely doing this and we want to move faster. We got it done in 2.5 months, and they own their business, open the doors. That's not normal. Normally, it would be a closer to the 6 month mark. After they start meeting with the businesses, then I have to drop in, like, go meet with a CPA, go meet with an attorney. Like, I have to start dropping in the other things and make sure your funding has started before you're ready to sign, because you want that kind of to land at the same time. And so that's another value that I bring, is helping them plan when they want to do it and how to make sure everything else lines up so that they can open on the right time. And then people say, when did they launch? And like, well, it depends on if it's a brick and mortar or if it's just a virtual thing. If it's a virtual business or something that's mobile, you only need is a car or a van or a truck that's wrapped. You could do that in 60 days, even 30 days.
Yeah, you don't have any construction going on with that.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine once you, should I use the phrase, you hand over the keys to the franchise and they actually have a launch date or an opening date, you don't just say, hey, thanks for your business. You're following up with them, seeing how they're doing, if they had any questions, is there any assistance they needed? Yeah. What are some of those services that you do post-closing or post-opening, should I say?
So sometimes they need bookkeeping. They need CPA services. So they come back to me afterwards, you know, right when the business is getting started. A lot of times the franchisor will take the, like, it's a soft handoff, you know, a warm handoff, and they'll take care of them and they'll get a coach on that side of the business then. And so I'm not in touch with them as often, maybe 3 months and then 6 months and then a year, and, you know, you kind of trickle it out a little bit. And if it's a brick and mortar and I'm waiting on them to get their location and stuff, I'll stay in touch with them even more until they get their location and the build out is done and they're opening the doors. And then I'll back off a little bit. There's no more need for me to stay in a coaching aspect with them. I kind of turn into a friend at that point. I don't need to be coaching them on any aspect, because I don't know about the business as much as their business coach is going to know, because that person works inside that business. And so my job is done on that front. But believe me, they love messaging me during milestones. And I follow them on LinkedIn. The other day, one of my placements won the Brand Ambassador Award at their annual conference for the brand. And I was so proud of them. So, of course, I made comments on that, and they messaged me back. They're on my follow-up for their 6 month, I think, this week. But, I might not even do that, because they see I watch them.
And it's probably not uncommon, too, for someone to get into a franchise and 6, 9, 12, 18 months down the road, they're like, man, that was such a great experience. I want to buy another one. So they contact you again, and they don't have to start the whole process over, but they do have to kind of go through that exploration process mm-hmm. again to identify, you know, what could complement or supplement what I'm doing now, because this one's kind of running on autopilot and I've got some free time. I'd like to expand my net worth.
Yeah, you're right. And people might who are listening might think, oh, this guy's in franchising now. Why wouldn't he know how to just find the next one? You don't know what you don't know. And again, you'd be searching the internet for possibly 10,000 different options. And they saw how it worked that they just told me a few things and I showed them only three and they probably picked one of those three. And it was so much easier and streamlined. I have a current client who's placing probably this week, and knock on wood for her. She is placing and she's telling me about her best friend that's in Charlotte. And she's like, I already told her about my business and she's going to probably do one of these too. And I said, how do you know that business is right for her? She goes, oh, I don't. She just thought it was fun and thought it was exciting. I was doing it. And she's like, I should introduce her to you. And I was like, that's a great idea.
That is and a good so, idea.
Yeah. I said, let me talk to her and put her through the same process that you went through. You took a lot. You didn't even want to do this. Your husband asked you to have the call with me. You admitted that you were huffing and puffing and not wanting to take the calls. And then you couldn't go fast enough once we got there. I said, so let her have that experience.
So that kind of leads into one final question. So who is your ideal candidate and how do you find them?
So the ideal candidate is someone who's burnt out at work, recently laid off, or just looking to add an additional income stream. There's several ways we find them. I have virtual assistants. I have callers. We have a contact center that reaches out to people. We have LinkedIn Recruiter, so we can see the people who are open to work. So there's just a lot of different ways. We have referrals. Referrals is a big one for me right now. That's one of my goals, is to reach about 90% referrals and not have to go out looking for other people. But ideally, it's those people who are just open-minded to exploring a different path than hunting for another job.
So how do people get a hold of you? You have a website, phone number. What's your preference? Your email? Please feel fair.
You can find me on my website, but it's not easy to spell. So just go to LinkedIn and look up Michael Harn. That's H-A-R-N. You can also search me on Google. You're going to find me if you type in Coach Michael Harn. Any of those types of things. And I'm on Facebook, Instagram. If you Google, you're going to find it.
If we Google Michael Harn, you're going to show up, huh?
There's a few of us around. But yeah, if you type in anything like coaching or entrepreneur or business, yeah, it will pop up.
So Michael Harn, career ownership coach, and it'll
find
dial you right in. Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
I hope you have a lot of success helping people in this career transition area. And I think being a franchise owner is probably going to be a pretty lucrative career moving forward here, as you know, some of these bigger companies are incorporating AI and unfortunately cutting their workforce quite a bit. Thanks, Michael. I appreciate it. Next in the studio today, we have Brian Sullivan with a very unique business, something that I am not very familiar with. Welcome, Brian. He is with Assisted Living Locators in Atlanta. Thanks for coming to the show. Appreciate you being here.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about your path. You know, Michael shared with us his path, but your path to getting to where you're actually helping, I believe, seniors move into an assisted living facility.
Something like that, yeah. First, let me plug Michael, just because I am a product of the Entrepreneur Sources program. I went through it on my own after a career change, or, you know, I was laid off and went through that program and came out of it on the other side as a business owner and chose a franchise.
So you went through Michael's process. So it's kind of cool that we led with Michael first, and then you're one of his, I say, prodigies or success stories.
It's a success story for sure. I mean, I sat here nodding a lot about what Michael said is spot on. It's a very Socratic process that takes you from one place to someplace you weren't sure you were going to get to. And it's just logical the entire time.
So Michael's basically dissecting your passions, your interests, and helping lead you in the direction to where you got today with the assisted living locators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, kind of helping you understand what it is you have to offer, right? And bringing up your own personal skills, you know, your experience for sure, and your passion. Because being an entrepreneur often requires passion to do what you're about to do.
Sure. Yeah, not only do you need to know how to run a business or at least have some idea how to run it, but to add that to actually growing the business and doing some of the work there, yeah, it takes a multifaceted person mm-hmm. to be able to juggle both of those things simultaneously.
Absolutely. And if you've been, you know, working in a big corporation for a long time, like I was 35 plus years, you kind of lose sight of some of that. Right. So that process that you go through with the entrepreneur source, it kind of reminds you of a lot. Right. And it brings it to the forefront and reminds you that, hey, you know, I have those capabilities, but also helps you understand the experience you gained in, you know, corporate life can be applied to what you want to do now. So he was saying, you know, bring me somebody who can manage the business. Well, I was a, you know, manager and leader in my entire career. So when it came time to actually managing a business of my own, it was a no-brainer.
So give us a little bit of a explanation on what Assisted Living Locators Atlanta is.
Sure.
I see you added Atlanta to the bottom there just to identify yourself. So it is definitely some kind of franchise, but yeah, you own this particular franchise.
That's right. We're in 38 states as Assisted Living Locators. I own an Atlanta franchise, and we are a senior placement advisor. So I work with families all the time to find the right care solution for their loved ones. It's a no-cost option to them, so I'm really more of a consultant to help them on their own journey to figuring out what the best solution is for their elderly loved ones.
I had no idea that there was those kinds of services out there where you actually study all the different assisted care or memory care or skilled nursing facilities in the area, and instead of having the people that need someone to go into one of those facilities, and you'll actually work with them. I'm assuming you're going to meet with the person that's going to be moving into the facility and see what kind of stage of life they're in and what their needs are, what their interests are, and how active they basically are.
Yeah, it's a discovery process also, right? So it could be the family or the individual themselves, but it's really, you know, why are we having this conversation? And that is usually driven by a need of some sort, right? And that could be, it could be care, it could be connection, it could be, you know, a lot of different things. It could be relocation from, you know, a different part of the country to be closer to their loved ones or family here. So it's about understanding the story behind the individual and the family. Why are we having the conversation? And it usually unveils exactly what the family is looking for. So it could be that they're bringing their parents, again, you know, from somewhere else in the country, and they're perfectly able, they're, you know, active and all that stuff, but they want them in a community that's going to, you know, they're going to be able to build connection with other seniors, right, or other people at a similar stage in life, and that's what they want, right? So that might be an independent living community where they can, you know, take advantage of calendars that are filled with activities and other seniors where they can build relationships and build friendships, you know, for the long term. Because, you know, at every stage of life, connection, right, feeling like you're part of something and having others to share that with is very important, especially as you get older.
Something you just recently mentioned is sometimes the individuals themselves will contact you and not a family member.
Mm-hmm.
I can only imagine the emotional state that person is in, where they finally recognize that they need something more,
mm-hmm.
or they need some kind of assistance. And they may have been in their house for 50 years.
Yep.
They've got a lot of possessions, you know, a lot of memories there. You actually work with them to kind of help them through that process and say, you know, this really is a correct step for you moving forward. And you can get them into, you know, one of the different facilities based on what you had mentioned, what their activity level is.
Yeah, activity or needs, right? I mean, as we get older, we need support with, you know, just daily activities, right? And that could just, in some cases, if you're, you know, a young 75, as I like to call them, I usually have a few of those every year, but, you know, they could be perfectly fine. They can bathe, dress, toilet, all those things by themselves. They just need connection on a daily basis, right? So they need to get out and have some activities, meet with their neighbors and, you know, just do things. It could be also that they do need some daily support with certain things. They might be, you know, having trouble with mobility. They can't stand at a stove any longer and cook because, you know, they've got arthritis or whatever. So if they need more support, an assessment by me says, really, you need more assisted living. So we'll look at those opportunities in the communities that fit their needs.
Now, you have mentioned a couple different kinds of facilities. You've mentioned independent living.
Yep.
You've mentioned assisted living. Could you dive deeper into what all those different facilities offer?
Sure. So the senior living continuum, if you will, these days isn't just what a lot of us used to think about as, you know, old folks' homes, right, in the past. We're a capitalistic society, and of course, you know, things evolve. So today there are amazing options for seniors, and you can stay at home if you want and, you know, have companion care to come in and kind of help do some things. Or you can go into a care community where there's more connection and there's more support. So we mentioned independent living, which is just that. It's focused on keeping people socially engaged and physically active. Those communities will, like I said, will have an amazing events calendar and things you can do all day. They'll have on-site services like physical therapy and occupational therapy to kind of keep you, you know, kind of moving in the right direction if you need those types of services. The next stage would probably be more assisted living. And that's where you've got more hands-on care to do the basics of life. So that is like dressing, toileting, you know, eating, you know, finding meals. Even if you're a fall risk, there's somebody there to make sure that you're safe and can really guide you through your day-to-day activities as needed. Beyond assisted living, you get into more specialized care, such as memory care. A lot of folks these days experience dementia or even Alzheimer's, as we know, and those types of communities are really about supporting people with very special needs in that area. So, you know, not everybody with dementia needs memory care. Memory care is a secured community where basically the individual might be a flight risk. You know, they want to wander, or they could have some behavioral issues that put themselves or others at risk, and they need constant supervision. So that's kind of the next step in that, in the care continuum, if you will. Skilled nursing is really where you do get into more daily medical supports needed, where you've got an underlying health condition that really kind of drives your ability to, you know, perform any activities of daily living, and you really need nursing supervision. And so that would be that last.
And that's kind of the thought that I always had when you think about a senior going into a facility is someone that is at that stage in their life. But as you had mentioned, like the independent living, they could live in what I would consider like a condo.
Absolutely. I mean, there's
or even a house.
Yeah, there's all sorts of models. I mean, there's life planning communities where you can actually invest in the community while you're at the independent living stage. And that community provides all of those stages that I just mentioned, right? So you can be in independent living today, and those communities will have cottages, or they'll have condominiums, flats, whatever, right? And as your needs progress, you can stay within the community. It's just your care model changes, right? So you might move to a different apartment in the assisted living area, but you're in the same community with the same relationships and the same support folks that are there, you know, that you've built relationships with over time. The life care communities are really an opportunity to age in place where, you know, you can get, there's just consistency in care over the years, which adds a lot to an individual's journey, just because trauma and change can really affect the elderly much more so than, you know, someone who's younger.
But something that you had mentioned that I would think would be key is they develop those relationships. They have their friends, but aside from the friends that they have within the community, the people that they meet actually working for the facility, mm-hmm. they become familiar with them, and they actually become kind of family for them. So I can see where that kind of progression in that type of facility or community is yep. a real positive for people that are getting older.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you want folks that are there on a day-to-day basis who have the compassion and the patience to, you know, to support you, right? And not everybody has that. So you will, you know, you go to these communities, and my clients are consistently surprised at just how nice everybody is. But in reality, you know, senior living draws a certain type of person. And that
it
is
does,
really,
yes.
yeah, it really is someone who understands what seniors need in their day-to-day lives, wants to make sure that they have the dignity, you know, and the respect they deserve so that they can live an active life for as long as they're able and to stay as independent as they can for as long as they're able. And so it will attract the kind of people who want to make sure that that happens.
I want to kind of pivot here a little bit. Many of our listeners are part of what you identify as the sandwich generation. Mm-hmm. They're not only managing their careers, they're also raising children or adolescent adults or young adults, but they're also part of taking care of their parents. People are living longer, so they require more attention as they get older in their lifespan. So you've got this generation, I would imagine, in their late 50s, mid-50s, maybe even in their late 40s,
yeah.
that are managing all three things simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
So from your perspective as an advisor and as someone that assists people in tailoring a future for somebody that's in their older years, mm-hmm. what's the biggest mistake that families usually make when they get put in this situation and they start down this road or this journey with you?
Yeah, and I think this comes to an earlier comment where, you know, senior living has evolved over the years, right? So a lot of folks, they go directly to what they think is the solution, which, you know, in most cases, it would be assisted living or something even beyond that in the nursing care realm, if you will. They're not aware that there are other areas on the care continuum that could better serve their elderly loved ones, right? So they might think, oh, we need to go to assisted living. And I can sit with a person for 5 minutes and say, that's just not the right place for them, right? Let's right. let's be honest. And so before you know it, they're going from one area, we're going back to something like independent living, and the conversation changes immediately. And they get very enthused by the fact that we're not putting somebody in a, quote, home. We're actually bringing them to a community that's going to support them and give them things to do and connection, right? And that's going to help fill in the gaps. You know, like you mentioned, the sandwich generation, they're doing a lot. And a lot of that is, you know, bringing their parents to doctor's appointments or, you know, making sure that they've got somebody to have dinner with and all those things. So they, when they find out that there's a better solution to their particular situation, they get really enthused. They really jump on board and say, this is a great solution. We love it. We want that for our loved ones, right? And suddenly it's like, hey, we're on, you know, we're off to the races. So I think the mistake, if there really is one, it's just assuming you know where they should go. Engaging with a senior living advisor usually breaks that apart a little and shows them that there are great options out there.
It brings to me an image where an aging parent has routine contact with like one of their kids, you know, whatever it is. And they eventually move into an independent living thing. And then all of a sudden they meet all these friends and they have all these activities. And all of a sudden the kids lose contact with them because they're so busy doing something. They're at the pool or they're going to events or they're going to ball games or something.
It's a strange way to define success, but yeah. I've actually moved a few friends' parents into these communities. And I'll be like, how's your mom? And they're like,
never hear from her.
Yeah, they're doing great. We can't keep up with them. You know, we don't know where they are to what they're doing. So, I mean, I take that as a badge of honor.
Yeah, that is. That really is. Because I have seen some of those facilities, and they're amazing. They really are.
They are. And even, you know, independent living and assisted living, they are amenities-based, right? They want you to have things that are going to make you want to be in the community. You go to some of the newer ones, and yeah, they'll be amenity-rich. Pools and, you know, big spas and gyms and stuff like that. And as, you know, Michael mentioned before, a lot of folks are aging, you know, getting into the area where they're going to need some care at some point, right? These communities are geared for the next generation, just as much as the generation that's there today, and that they know they want to be younger longer, and they want to do those things. So you'll see places with pools, and they'll have, you know, all these other things in there, and you're like, oh, this is pretty darn nice, right? Yeah, and that's you know, that's, you love seeing that, you know, that light bulb moment, like, this is not my grandparents' nursing home, right? This is a pretty nice place. I could see myself here.
Go see grandma and grandpa more often now.
Right, exactly.
They've got the pool and all the games.
They get, you know, they get ice cream for free. It's great.
Working with so many different facilities, and there must be a ton of them around Atlanta, just mm-hmm. being such a large metropolitan area.
Yep.
The population is so huge, not just in Atlanta, but mm-hmm. in Gwinnett County alone. I think we have more people than the city of Atlanta does. Mm-hmm. So how are you evaluating facilities? How are you finding out the soul of the community and how it matches a senior's personality and their lifestyle?
You know, one of the biggest benefits of being in this industry in Georgia is that we have an amazing support network that's out there. So there are, you know, ways to interact with people from communities that just allow you to get to know them as people. I do spend a lot of my time at the communities themselves, dropping in to say, hey, I do volunteer at a number of them just to, you know, get a good feel for how they operate. But mm-hmm. it's really understanding the people who are in the industry that helps a tremendous amount, because we build relationships with them as well. By understanding who they are and then visiting the communities, you get a really good feel for what that community has to offer an individual. Because as you mentioned, there are a lot of them in Metro Atlanta. We're a very, you know, well-populated area. There are a huge breadth of options here. So understanding the communities and understanding the people who are there to support seniors is critical in what I do, because it's not just real estate being in Gwinnett, it's also being a matchmaker to the needs of the individual, right? So it's part real estate agent, part matchmaker, and that, hey, that community's got to fit their needs because for whatever reason, right? Knowing those communities, and when you hear a story, you start to formulate, you know, an idea of where this person can go. That's the value, you know, right? Because you could drive by a place every day on your way to work for 10 years, right?
And not even know what they offer there.
Don't,
yeah.
Right. And they look just like the other place across the street, yes. Right? So engaging with someone like me, a senior living advisor, you're getting a more knowledge about the community in particular, but also you're discovering what the needs are, your loved one needs, and whether that's a match. And that, when you talk about the sandwich generation who are supporting their kids, themselves, and their parents, we take a lot of that legwork out of the whole search, and we do that. We bring them all the information they need, including pricing, the services they offer, even if they have availability, because there are some capacity issues, right? So we bring all that information to the family so that they don't have to go to 10 different locations and find that themselves. We bring that to them, very concise information, so that they can make an informed decision about what the next step is.
How do people find you? How do people know about assisted living locators? I mean, is it more social media? Is it internet searches? How would you like to provide some contact information to our listeners so
sure.
they can find out how yeah. to get in touch with you if needed?
Yeah, I mean, it's Brian Sullivan, and a senior living advisor, Brian Sullivan, in Atlanta. They will find me. I do a lot of work in all of Metro Atlanta. My name comes up on Google plenty of times, but I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, all those areas. And I'm a pretty prolific poster. You know, I like to go out there. Well, because, yeah. you know, people
have
an idea.
Yeah.
You do, but I also want to show people what it is that takes place in the communities. And so by going and you just want to browse and look a little, you'll see what I do with communities and how we bring people, activities to people, and how they light up, right, with painting and flowers, all these different activities. So if you Google Brian Sullivan, Senior Living Advisor in Atlanta, you'll find it.
It's a part of life that has evolved kind of in the background that most of us don't really know about. Similar to Michael Harn's stuff, franchising. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows about franchising, but it's mm-hmm. always been unreachable for so many people.
That's right.
And it's evolving so rapidly, but it's kind of evolving behind the scenes, similar to assisted living, where there's so many different options. So
right.
I love hearing about these services that both of you offer to helping out the community. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you both being on the show. Wish you the best success in both your businesses moving forward. And
thanks. Happy to be here.
Thanks. Appreciate it, guys. Quick reminder, Gwinnett Business Radio is presented by Subaru of Gwinnett. You'll love the difference. Gwinnett Business Radio is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you enjoy your favorite podcasts.